So welcome to the UK and Ireland Jets 2019 mock draft. Got to thank Josh for this, as he organised what was a 15 general manager, two round and plenty of drama mock draft. So I'm going to hand straight to Josh now. I'm going to run through what we did and what the mock draft actually was. So Josh, over to you.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for that. Effectively, it was, as Seb said, two full rounds. We had a bunch of people from the WhatsApp chat and a couple of fans from other teams who were picking from their own team. You basically got your own team. You started with your own team's first and second round picks. There was a kind of four-day trade window where everybody could contact each other and make trades. And then we started the draft. And then even during the draft, as long as you made the pick before your sort of timer, then you were allowed to trade mid-pick as well. So it was really interesting. There was actually some, right from the start, there were surprises straight off the board, and it kind of threw quite a few people into the loop, I think. So it'll be quite interesting reading what people think, or hearing what people think, I should say. But I'm thinking the first way we should do it is just to read off a couple of the trades that occurred for the first round. So before we ever started, we had Kansas City and Seattle made a trade. For Frank Clark in exchange for pick 61 and 63. So does anyone have anything to say about that, or do you quite just think that's pretty fair? They kind of worded it as similar to the D4 deal. You couldn't get a long-term deal done, so you thought get something back for them.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's... I mean, I'm not so sure on the team they go, like, he goes to in Kansas City, because why would you get rid of D to then bring in Frank Clark, who you're then going to have to pay as well? I mean, I don't really see... I don't see Kansas City doing it. I see if Frank Clark gets moved, I see him going for around that. But I'm not so sure on the Kansas City angle. But it was I liked it, to be honest.
We then had another trade that occurred where the 49ers got Mike Evans in the fifth pick. Tampa Bay got the second pick. Pick 36, so the early second, Nick Mullins, and a 2020 fourth rounder. So effectively, they swapped 2 for 5, and then 36, a fourth rounder, and Nick Mullins for Mike Evans, which I think
is a blockbuster, really.
If that happens in draft night, we can all just throw our boards out.
Yeah, I'm not
stuff like that. Just made everyone sit like, "What the hell is going on here?"
I'm not sure if Mike Evans is worth a number two overall pick and a backup quarterback. You get the other first round pick back, like Nick Mullins on return, along with that second overall, I'm not so sure on that. But I'm not really sure if Tampa want to move on from Mike Evans. I obviously understand he's a problem, but I'm not sure on that. But it is us that are doing the trades. So
the next one was really interesting. I had a lot of people saying, "Would this happen?" Personally, I like it. As a Jets fan, I hate it. But if I was them, I'd like it. But a lot of people said he's not worth it. I'm a fan. It was Josh Rosen for the 13th overall pick, Miami and Arizona.
Yeah, I don't see him going for a first round pick, to be honest. Unless it's a late one. Purely because he's been so polarizing as a player in his 1 year in the league so far, and the fact that he had most interceptions thrown in the season, didn't he? He had one of the worst seasons for the rookie out of all the rookie quarterbacks that were there.
I get that. I personally like him. I think he could
bounce back. But I think for a team to risk giving up a first round pick for him is a pretty big risk, considering that Garoppolo went to the 49ers for a second.
Big difference there is, though, Garoppolo was coming to the end of his deal and needed money. You look at Josh Rosen, at some point over the next 4 years, you're getting him for $3 million or something stupid
like
that.
I think the thing with Garoppolo was it was more of a guaranteed commodity in what he could do and what he'd shown that he could do for the Patriots. I understand that teams don't really like trading with the Patriots because Belichick makes them look better. You never win when you trade with them, and also Belichick can make players look so much better than they are. But still.
So we'll run through a couple of these ones quickly because we're taking a bit of time. But you had Seattle and the Packers. Seattle saying received 30 overall and 44 overall for 21 and 85. Fair enough. It was for a particular player, I think. Then, if you want to talk through your own one with the Jets, it was pick 5, Buckner in a first and 22nd, 20. And then San Fran got 3, a 22nd, 20, 22, third, and a 4th and 7th.
Yeah. So, I was approached with the trade to begin with. This wasn't me going to forward with this. I was approached with the trade for... it wasn't initially with Buckner involved, but it was for two other players on the D-line. And Solomon Thomas and... Oh, who was the other one? Can't remember who the other player was now. I haven't got my notes up.
Yeah.
And then it was the first pick and I think I think that was it. And then from then we went on to discuss more and it ended up, that's what the trade ended up being, was me moving the Jets back a couple of places in the draft, picking up DeForest Buckner, a first round next year, and I think a later round pick as well next year. And then I ended up giving up two mid-round picks.
For all of those that want to question what the Jets did in this draft and fire your questions away at Ross, because he got a lot of attention thrown his way from pretty much everyone.
Yeah. So on that note, we'll list off a few of the picks because some of the other trades are more occurred because of things that happened with who got picked. So I mentioned there was a surprise at the start. Arizona, who have now traded away Josh Rosen, as expected, took a QB. What was not expected was to take Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State. That then led Tampa to trade up, and they took Kyler Murray. San Francisco at number 3, having traded, take Nick Bosa. Their GM did send in a wee comment of what he did. It basically says, in a make-or-break year for the front office, the Niners make a splash and take the unanimous best player on the board. Having already got an all-pro wide receiver, talked about the Mike Evans trade, they now add Nick Bosa. Oakland take Josh Allen, Kentucky, outside linebacker. And the Jets, who traded back to 5, as mentioned, take my least favourite player in the draft, Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle, Alabama.
Yeah, so I think the first thing that stands out of those top 5 has to be the picking of Dwayne Haskins.
Sorry, Ian, we're on your picks. We're questioning your pick.
Yeah. A lot of people did. I think it all comes down to one thing. I think Kyler Murray's too short. I also loved some talk on Twitter yesterday about how does a guy react to being hit a lot, like he probably will be with the Cardinals, when he's got another option in baseball. I'd imagine it seems like quite a nice little backup plan. If you've had your clock clean time in a game and it's not coming to hand, I think he doesn't have the frame to be a proper quarterback. And I think Haskins is a real leader. I'd be really, really surprised if he doesn't go a lot higher than people are predicting.
I agree with that. In my sort of own mind, I've got Haskins going 6 to the Giants. Mostly because personally, I think if you're sticking with the prototype, you stick with Josh Rosen. The reason I think they go with Kyler Murray is because he fits that sort of system that they run, that Cliff Kingsbury wants to run. But Dwayne Haskins can see light in it up for the Giants. I can't see all the smoke and mirrors. I think Kyler Murray's going there, but I can't understand Haskins.
Cliff Kingsbury, he's an interesting character, isn't he? I think there's a lot of talk about his system, but if your system's a little guy getting his clock cleaned 20 times a game, then you're not going to last very long.
Yeah, I don't understand just the risk of getting rid of Rosen anyway. I think it's different if he was an outright failure last year, but I don't think anyone can claim that he was.
You don't.
in the team with the coaching, and it's really questionable.
I don't get it. I think he's going to do well, but I liked him before the draft, so that's something I'm stuck in with, I guess. The next one, I think, once Kyler was then going to be there at two, I think Tampa traded up before the draft, to remember, so I think they were trading up for Dwayne Haskins, thinking Kyler would go one. But then they took Kyler, saying best player in the draft, so that made sense. We have Nick Bosa, the presumptive best edge rusher, going third, as we said. Anyone really interested in that? I think that's just a smart pick that had to be made at three.
Yeah.
Oakland go Josh Allen. I think that was 50-50. They could go Allen or Quinnen Williams. Again,
I think in real life, I think we could go Ed Oliver as well. I think they're really, really high on Ed Oliver. Mm-hmm.
On second, they've got a couple, is it further down though? Yeah, it's not to 24. I personally like Ed Oliver. I don't think he'll go that high, but perhaps.
I think if all the best pass rushers, if all the best rushers or linemen basically go 2-3-4, I can see. Well, I'll say 2-3. Well, if they go 1-2, if they went 1-2-3, I could see them going Ed Oliver at four. Obviously, that's not going to happen.
Josh Allen again. I'm big in Josh Allen. I like Josh Allen. So Oakland took him. And then, if you can defend your pick of the disgraceful decision to go defensive tackle,
best player available. I mean, I was trying to think as much as I could, like McCagnan, and McCagnan always drafts BPA. So I was like, if I take anyone other than him, it's going to look ridiculous because I'm going to be like, oh, well, who'd I take? I can't take Greedy Williams that high.
Williams. I don't like, it's not him. People think I've got a personal thing. I just don't want to take
like, I tried. Yeah. I tried to trade, I'm not going to lie, I tried to trade down again and no one was taken. And then after I took him, I tried to trade back into the first round again to get Greedy Williams. And by the time I'd sort of kind of formulated a trade, he'd already gone off the board. So I was like, too late.
I think that whole idea of trading kind of brings up a good point that I noticed from the mock draft, was that although there were a fair few trades, it became very obvious how hard it actually is to trade down from the top few picks, which adds a bit more like light onto the Jets situation, because a lot of people were saying like, I want to trade down, but No one's giving it.
Saying they want the Jets to trade down from three. I think it's not as easy as that seems, because you don't want to be seen as the sort of team that gets taken advantage of. So you need to make sure you get your worth. And maybe number three isn't worth
it. I think at the same time, though, I was given, I think, five offers for the third pick by different teams. Realistically, McCagnan, if he's actively shopping that pick, which he is, will be getting offers from almost all the teams in the league saying, this is what we can give you for that pick.
It's about how much it's worth it, though.
And I think that I think realistically, the teams that would actively trade to three or have seemed to be interested in that pick in real life, not one of those teams made an offer to me.
I think the other, like the when other we did thing as well, you need to look at a lot of these trades will probably already be agreed upon. If player X and Y goes 1 and 2, I'll trade up. But people don't want to trade up, and then the player they're trading up for goes 2. So a lot of you will need to wait until draft night, and maybe they've got something arranged. But we'll just need to wait and see. Moving on, so we're not spending too long. We have got 2 rounds to go through. We'll go through 6 through 10. We go Devin White to the Giants. Jawan Taylor, the tackle from Florida, to Jacksonville. He gets to stay in state. Ed Oliver, DT, goes to Detroit. Their GM sent in a wee bit. Defensive tackle was a position of strength after the Snacks trade last year, but they play the run better than they play the pass. Oliver will get more pressure on the QB up the middle, and it still leaves us with holes to fill, but the value was too much to pass up on. Totally agree with most of that, yep. Number 9, Buffalo take Jonah Williams, tackle Alabama. Number 10, Drew Lock, quarterback, Missouri. What stands out to me, my favourite player in the draft, is going to New York, but he's going to the wrong team. I love Devin White. I go to LSU. As anyone who listened to the first couple of pods know, Devin White, my guy, but we can't afford to pick that high on a linebacker. There's no way. We've spent too much already on linebacker, like inside linebacker. But I think that's a great pick for the Giants. Personally, I can't see them. They very rarely spend high capital on linebackers, but he's there. The pick I really like there is Jonah Williams. For some reason, he has fallen down draft boards because he's got small arms, apparently. But so did Cleveland tackle, just retired. I can't remember. Joe Thomas. Had small arms. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Doesn't mean all.
Yeah, he had smaller arms. Smaller arms than Jonah Williams, which Jonah Williams made clear to state at his combine. He was like, I have small arms, apparently, but he had smaller arms, and look at his career.
I know it's something that you need to account for, maybe, that not everyone's going to be Joe Thomas because they've got small arms. But you watch the tape, he dominates. The arms, I think, aren't as big an issue as they seem to be, but teams are treating it as such. So he's fallen, but I think Buffalo got a steal there, although I think he'll actually end up going a lot lower than that on draft night. 10, yeah. I get what they're thinking. If you're thinking mock, what the team's going to do, because John Elway has no clue on QBs, but I do not like Drew Lock. It's not a pick I would make. But I can definitely...
Yeah, well, it was my choice as well, because I was picking for the Broncos too.
I wouldn't.
That was what my choice on that was based on, was it was based entirely on, listen, right here, Broncos really don't have that many holes. Like, they have some large ones. Linebacker was a notable one, but obviously Devin White's gone, so who am I really going to draft at 10? So the biggest hole on the team by a mile is quarterback.
Yep. Anyone else get anything on those high picks that interest them?
I can kind of go against you here, Josh, and I think that the Drew Lock drafting to Denver is actually quite good. I actually quite like Drew Lock. I think he's not getting any attention whatsoever, but he's a decent quarterback. And I think if he learns if he learns in Denver, I mean, you never know. I think he's a very good underdog in this draft to do well in the NFL.
I think that if you're taking him second round, I think these days if you're taking a quarterback in the first 10 picks, if you start off your season bad, the fans are going to clamour for him to play early. You see it every year. People say they won't play. The only guys that don't play are guys that are playing behind playoff quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes got to sit for a year because Alex Smith got them to the playoffs. If Denver go a three-game losing streak, the fans in Mile High are going to be mental.
I completely agree with you there. I think this is definitely a high risk pick, but I think there's a lot of potential there.
That's the draft. It's all an absolute crapshoot.
Yeah,
that's the amount of people I disagree with. But none of his, like, people get paid millions to do this, and they blow up picks every year. Look at McCagnan. Can't pick a player after the sixth overall to himself. Now, there was an interesting point that you made there, Ross, about how you wouldn't take a linebacker at 10 because Devin White's off the board. 11th overall, linebacker Devin Bush.
12th. Yeah. No, I don't think he should go that high.
Went to Cincinnati. Brian Burns, outside linebacker, Florida State, went to Green Bay. Arizona took Montez Sweat, where they got the extra pick for trading Josh Rosen. So Montez Sweat, the fastest defensive lineman I have ever seen. Atlanta took Rashawn Gary, the physical freak that cannot seem to do it on the field for Michigan. And Washington took the human wrecking ball of a wide receiver, DK Metcalf, who's got more muscles than any human I've ever seen. anything stand out with those five?
I think Metcalf. I'm surprised he's the first. Well, I say I'm surprised. I don't think it's that much of a surprise that he's the first receiver off the board, but he's not the best receiver in the draft.
So who do you think is the best receiver in the draft?
I think it has to go to either AJ Brown. Well, both of the Browns, really. I think when you look at Metcalf, he's just a physical freak. He wasn't even the number one receiver at Ole Miss. Like, he's not an amazing receiver. He's just got the potential with that body to be amazing. I think his combine, it was a perfect example of how the combine just shoots someone's value completely through the roof. Because he's even got injury worries. It's not even that he's completely injury free. So I think it's, I don't think it's a great pick.
The thing with Metcalf is, I think he wasn't the number one receiver almost because of the injuries, though. I think when he was on the field, he was generally pretty good. He drops a lot, which is a worry. I think people, yeah, it's the same as always. People look at it and go, I can teach them to catch better. I can't teach the speed he's got. Whether you can actually get him to perform better, I don't know. The pick that stands out to me is Rashan Gary. This guy's, I don't know what you all think about him, but this guy's been like a projected top five pick since he was in high school. He's just a physical freak of nature that could not perform at Michigan. He came out and basically said that the reason he didn't get sacked at college was because they ran a poor system. Now, that may very well be the case, right? They might not run the system that gets him sacked. But if you're the physical freak of nature he puts on tape, he puts on testing, even in the wrong system, you force your way to sacks. You just, it seems like it's an effort thing as much as anything. I think what he is to me is the Josh Allen quarterback of defensive ends. Someone looks at it and goes, look at those physical gifts. Coaches look at it and go, I can be the guy that changes him. I can be the guy that gets the best out of him. And it never materialises. I don't get the Rashan Gary love. And I actually seen someone mock him to us at 3. If he goes 3 overall, I am literally storming New York.
If that happens at 2 o'clock in the morning when you've sat up all night and not excited, no. That would be appalling.
Oh, it'd be just, I'm watching it in the US, so I'm on normal time and it'd be appalling for me staying up that late to watch it. Jesus. Brian Burns is one that fell quite a bit to 12. I've also seen mocks where he's went as high as 5. Personally, I think 12 is about right, but it's just interesting the variance you see with some people.
Yeah, and I think also the top 15 picks of this mock draft prove that there are a lot of edge rushers that can come off this board that can actually make a big impact. So I think the whole Josh Allen hype of going to the Jets at 3, if the Jets traded within the top 15, they could actually get an edge rusher that obviously won't be as good as Josh Allen or Nick Bosa, but they're still
It's going a bit off topic, but the Jets just need more picks, right? There's plenty of edge rushers around. If we can stay in the top 15 and manufacture, you know, even another 2 picks in the top, like, 60, then we've got to do that. It's just the team needs are far, far outweigh, you know, minor differences between edge rushers. I don't think there's anyone who's a generational talent who's coming at 3 that will kind of play that.
I'm with you. I think we need to get extra picks.
Definitely.
Even if it's like underweight on the trade chart and it looks like we're giving it away cheaply, there's no one we need as much as we need more players.
The only difference I'd say is if Nick Bosa falls to 3,
he's the outsider.
I'm taking him unless you get a big, big payoff for it. But other than that, I'm taking picks and moving.
Definitely.
Then 16 to 20, you had Andre Dillard, tackle from Washington State, go to Carolina. Their GM sent us in a wee bit. We really wanted Metcalf to fall. I thought he'd be the perfect foil to DJ and Christian McCaffrey. Gary would have also been a great option to shore up the front. However, with both players already off the board, wanted to make sure we keep Cam upright and thought the value is there. We can discuss that in a wee second because there's a couple of disagreements already. The Giants take Greedy Williams, so people that I've been rooting for all year suddenly become Giants players, which I'm not happy about, but there we go. Eric McCoy, guard, Texas A&M, goes to Minnesota. Garrett Bradbury, love that pick, to Tennessee. And Byron Murphy, cornerback, to Pittsburgh. The Andre Dillard one, not so much the pick, but the GM talking about it is interesting, just because we've both between our group here, we're just sat and slated Metcalf and Gary, or at least said we thought they were all picked, and he wanted them as well. So it's just interesting how variable, although we seem to be agreeing more often than not, that there is such variance in what people think about players.
Definitely.
Now, I had this thought the other day. When I started the sort of off-season look at players, at the end of the college football season, Grady Williams was a consensus top 10 pick, and Jonah Williams was a consensus top 5 pick. Suddenly, I've seen mocks where Jonah goes to anywhere from 15 to 20, and Grady Williams has fallen to the mid-20s. What do you think's had them both fall so far?
I think it's the hype.
Yeah, that's picks, exactly.
If I'm personally honest. And I also think, out of the picks you've just read out from 15 to 20, I think another example of that is Garrett Bradbury, because when I'd done a little review of him, I think it was about a month ago or so, about how he might potentially have fallen to the Jets in the third round, and he was kind of considered a second round pick. And now he's going 19. I think that's just another example of how nothing changes with these players between the end of the college season and the beginning of their NFL season. How it just changes in between is unbelievable.
It's mock draft, guys. They've got to have something interesting in the draft. So that's what... So good players get moved about a lot more in mock drafts than they do anything else. Eric McCoy's another great example. I love him, but there's no way he should be going that high.
To see him,
I agree with you there.
Joel Klatz didn't have Devin White in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, the mock draft people, I mean, very hypocritical of us having a mock draft right now and saying the mock draft people aren't good at it. But it is true. I mean, they create so many worlds, so many rumours, so many different opinions that it's so impactful on these players' careers. It's unbelievable.
Anyone got anything else in those sort of five picks? Do you want me to read them over? Or the Byron Murphy one?
I think the reason that, to go back to the reason as to why players are slipping, I think the reason that players like Greedy Williams and Jonah are slipping is just measurables. People have finally got a look at how they are as players. Greedy Williams obviously isn't ridiculously tall for a corner. Jonah Williams obviously got the arm length problems. I think as well, just player teams, where they are, where they sit, where like what their needs are. There aren't really many teams in the top half of the draft who are desperate for a cornerback or a tackle with short arms.
Knew that Greedy was short though. Like, I know it's official now, I guess, but people didn't think he was a tall cornerback. He's not short, but they didn't think he was tall. And then
Yeah, but I think it's now starting to freak teams out more than it would.
It was just kind of confirmation of what you already thought. It just seems a bit bonkers to me, but it happens every year. The next pick actually is really interesting because there is three defensive linemen coming from the one team. Most of you know Clemson. And to me, I know the one I would take first, but in this draft, he's actually went third out of the three of them. So at pick 20, you have the 21, sorry, you have the first of the three, Chris Wilkins to Green Bay. 22, you had Cody Ford to Baltimore, the guard from Oklahoma. 23, you have Dalton Risner, the tackle from Kansas State. 24, we have the first running back off the board, Josh Jacobs at Alabama, going to Oakland. And 25, you have the second of the three Clemson linemen, you have Dexter Lawrence going to Philadelphia.
The first thing I took out of that was how poor this year's running back group is compared to previous years. I mean, I think even Josh Jacobs at 24 is a bit of a...
I wouldn't take Josh Jacobs in the first round.
Yeah, I agree completely there.
But what actually happened, if I remember right, was the Henry, who was meant to be picking for Oakland, wasn't available, and someone else volunteered that pick for him. So I can see it, because I don't trust John Gruden to be smart picking players. But I wouldn't take a running back that. I'm not a running back in the first round sort of guy. I'm quite anti that. But the big one, I just can't believe that we've not even got to him yet, but Clelin Ferrell was the third of the Clemson D linemen. It baffles me.
Yeah.
I can't see that happen.
Two of them, like, four.
I just can't.
Especially it was Dexter Lawrence that missed the championship game, wasn't it?
I believe so.
PEDs.
Yeah.
So I just can't see him going 25 and Colin Farrell dropping further. I do like the Cody Ford pick to Baltimore though. Anyone else got anything particular there apart from the Josh Jacobs? No.
Not particularly. just I don't. As I said, I can't see Clarence Ferrell going that low. I see him going around mid table in the first round, like 15.
I remember when
like around that place.
The person who picked him sent it in, and I was like, "He's still on the board." I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Considering that he's been projected on some mocks to go in the top 10, for him to fall to what? Where did he get picked at? 25, did you say? In the mock?
Yeah, clearly it was 30.
Dolly Lodge was 25. Okay. 30, yeah. For him to go to 30, I think is just ridiculous. I can't see that happening. This is where it's actually going to end up being picked later than that, and I'm going to have to eat something. Right. Eat a hat.
So the next five, I don't know, where interesting in that there was a wee run of offensive players, three of five, when a defensive heavy draft. So you had AJ Brown, wide receiver Ole Miss, going to the Colts. You had TJ Hawkinson, tight end Iowa, going to Oakland. You then had DeAndre Baker, cornerback from Georgia, going to the Chargers. We have our second running back, we have Damian Harris, Alabama, so that's two Alabama guys gone. And then you have previously mentioned Cleland Farrell at Clemson. Now, we've only got two picks left in the round, so I'll read those off as well and just do the seven. We had Noah Fant, tight end Iowa, go to the Rams. And Jeffrey Simmons, DT, Mississippi State, going to New England.
The first thing I took from that was I was so glad that New England didn't get a tight end. That was the one thing that I loved with that.
I think the one I want to talk about is Hawkinson. He's a really weird sort of situation right now where he is seen as this transcendent tight end, if you will, by some people and sort of an afterthought by others. I've seen him go as high as 8 in mock drafts to the Lions, which I find ridiculous, but I think it just shows how people don't seem to know where he's going to fall. I've seen him go in the second round, to go from like mid-second round to 8th, I think is a big difference, and it's a big swing in people's opinions of a player. But it's going to be good to see how he plays when he finally comes into the league.
He's obviously going to pretty much miss the full year, if not miss the full year. Do you think he's still worth a first round, even at the bottom of the first, a first round pick?
The bad thing is if you know it's the Patriots picking him, you know he will be worth it regardless.
Look, you see that though, right? I know I've been saying this for years now, right? But Tom Brady must be finishing up soon.
You'd like to think so.
He has to be.
A few, right?
And if you were to tell Tom Brady that not only are we doing our usual of not really picking your offensive weapon, but we're actually picking your defensive player who's not even going to play this year to help you win. I can't see it. I, maybe I'm off my rocker, but I can't see it.
Yeah, it is a very fair point.
Teams in probably the most win-now mode of anyone. You've seen it. Like, they've started trading up for players and things. They never did that before. But the other one as well was Damian Harris, running back Alabama. Two Alabama running backs. Does anyone think either of them are worth going that high?
No.
No.
No. Well, I'm glad we've finally on this podcast had a consensus decision on something.
The right thing about running backs is if they don't go in the top three, you shouldn't be picking them in the top three rounds. It's transcendent. You're not going to make that much of a difference.
Mm-hmm. I get the thought process behind it. Kansas City, they'd obviously need a running back now, but I just can't see a running back being valued at 29. It baffles me. I do love AJ Brown to Indianapolis, though. And Seb, you mentioned you thought the Browns were the best wide receivers in the draft. So if you want to have a wee conversation about them.
Yeah, I mean, we've already mentioned that Metcalf wasn't even number one receiver out of Ole Miss. So I just, the Browns to me just seem like better receivers in terms of actually being able to catch the ball rather than being physical freaks.
Imagine that, being good at catching the ball.
Exactly. I mean, another player I'd actually say maybe even higher than Metcalf is N'Keal Harry. I mean, I know he comes up soon in the second draft, but I just do really think that Metcalf is this freak of nature that everyone's obsessed with his physical ability rather than how good of a skill player he actually is.
Fair. Okay, so if we just move swiftly on to the second, unless anyone's got something to comment back to say about that. Nope, sounds good. The next player off is the best name in the draft, in my opinion. It's cornerback from Temple who goes to Detroit, and his name is Rock Ya-Sin. Detroit's GM sent in a wee bit. We are desperate for a player to hold their own on the other side of the field from Slay. Probably overpaid because they moved up 10 spots to do him, to get him, but we are hoping we will be a playoff team, and a third rounder will look more like a fourth. Lions have a history with second round cornerbacks. Some work like Slay, some don't like Tabor. Ya-Sin looks to have all the traits of a top cornerback. Tried to trade up for Hawkinson, but failed. Then Indianapolis take Zach Allen, defensive end Boston. Oakland take probably my favourite pick so far because they value Nasiri Adderley, safety from Delaware. Tampa Bay take, as you mentioned, N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State. And the New York Giants take the other Brown, Marquise Brown, wide receiver, Oklahoma. Anyone get anything to add there?
I think obviously this year's pretty bad for safeties, I think, in regards to how high they can go. Obviously, I don't think I've seen that many mocks with them going in the first round, and for the majority of it, most of them have been going mid-second round. So I think, I'm not sure on safeties being drafted in this year's draft. I mean, I'm probably going to get proven wrong because I said this about the running back draft class when Le'Veon Bell was drafted, but
I
don't know. I think I'm not sure.
Delaware, you never really know. But I think he has all the makings.
Yeah.
The pick I'm not sure about is Zach Allen, defensive end Boston. I think whenever he came up against better competition, he looked poor. Now, I could be totally wrong on that. I've not studied him. That's just from my own recollection of watching a lot of college football this year. So not that I particularly studied him, but he never jumped off the page to me once, or the screen, I guess. But Marquise Brown to the Giants, I'm not a fan of that, I must admit, because I don't like the Giants being good, and I like Marquise Brown. anyone else get anything they'd add?
Just that, obviously, I made a trade with the Jets to move up to 10 while the first round was going on, traded Darren Lee for the second round pick and then exchanged mid-round picks. And I traded while these picks were coming up, I wanted Marquise Brown. I was wanting to get a wide receiver to put on the edge. I wanted some offensive players. I did want Chris Lindstrom as well. Yeah. And as we're probably going to discuss in about 5 seconds, he gets picked two before it. Those are the two players I was looking at. I like Marquise Brown a lot. I'm very upset that the Giants have got the haul they've got in this mock draft so far.
The Giants
are very disappointed in the fact that it's not the Jets that have got.
38, we had Irv Smith Jr., tight end Alabama, to Jacksonville. We had Greg Little, tackle Ole Miss, to Tampa Bay. Chris Lindstrom, as mentioned, tackle went to Miami. It was actually one pick before you went. Then it was
I wasn't happy about it.
Linebacker you picked from Georgia. So give you a wee second and you can explain that.
Yep.
And then the best,
obviously,
the best
all right,
sport name in the draft, Michael Jordan, tackle from Ohio State, went to Cincinnati. So you want to talk about Dondé Walker?
Yeah, all the, I got given so much stick for this pick in the mock draft chat when I did it, because obviously Paul White's still on the board. But I just, the off the field issues with Paul White were too much for me, and the fact that he's not as versatile as Walker is. Walker can do everything. He's obviously not as good a pass rusher as Paul White is, but at the end of the day, you want your outside linebacker to be able to do more than just rush the passer, and that's it. Yeah. Walker missed, I think, three tackles through his whole season in the last season with Georgia. He was the best ranked defender on that Georgia team after Baker. Yeah, it was a no-brainer, I think, in my eyes, that he was still there and I could take him. I think he goes top. I think realistically, if there's a team that needs an outside linebacker and all those guys are gone, I think he goes high second round. So I think at 10, I think is a place where I think he's actually a good pick, place to pick him at. I think Little as well. He said that Little from Ole Miss when
he went. So it was Little
just before Lindstrom.
Tampa, Lindstrom, Miami, and then Walker.
Yeah. Yeah, I see him going in the first round, so I don't see him falling that far. I see him going in the first round. He was projected to be a mid-first round pick a couple months ago. I can't see him slipping to the second round. Because I see as soon as Jonah Williams or Juwan Taylor come off the board, I see a run going on tackles, because there's not that many of them that are good this year that you can really sort of be like, these are the guys we can play on the left. And I think there's only a couple of them. I wouldn't necessarily mark Lindstrom down as a tackle, though. I'd say he's more of a guard. That's why I was kind of wanting to go after him, because you could play him at guard or centre. He's quite a lot like, what's his name? The guy who went in the first round, first inside lineman picked. Can't remember who.
First inside lineman was.
Maybe.
Eric McCoy.
Seem a lot like Eric McCoy, where he can play guard and centre. Perfect for the Jets. Fortunately, it was the Bills that came up and got him, wasn't it?
Jags. Yeah, it was the Jags took him.
Or they traded out with someone.
Tampa Bay took Little.
Yeah.
And Miami took Lindstrom.
Yeah. Miami, that was it. Miami traded with the Bills to get to get him. And I wasn't happy with it.
So
I wasn't happy at all.
Tight end Alabama, obviously. Does he struggle from the Alabama problem, whereby Alabama players,
Nick Saban's a god.
Look at him. Yeah, I just don't think so. He's that good. And there's no reason for me thinking that, because on tape he's insane. He puts up numbers. I don't know if it's a feeling or if I'm just missing something. I just don't think he's going to be that good.
So this was actually my pick with the Jags. Mm. And my logic behind it was, I was going to hope and kill Harry or Marquise Brown were going to fall. Mm-hmm. And both of them were taken in the two picks right before. Mainly because I think Foles needs that weapon.
Oh, yeah.
I understand the concerns. But yeah, I mean, I think out of all of the offensive weapons that were left on the board, mm-hmm. I think he was the best out of a purely just kind of not greatly intelligent view of college football.
Logically, you should be right. I just look at it and think it's not going to work. And I don't know if you're... I know this goes against all modern analytics and saying that, no, just look at the stats, look at what they do. But it's coming back to my own history of just watching the game. I just don't think he's going to translate.
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell.
I don't know why. There's no reason for it. I just don't think it'll work.
Yeah. If it was me that was making that pick for the Jags, and I know I got given a lot of hate for saying that it was between Walker and him for me at 10 in the second round, but I think Ridley's a fantastic wide receiver. Even though he's not got much playing time, he has been in the Georgia system, which runs the ball an awful lot, and I think the play he's had with the Georgia team, I think he shows how flexible he is in regards to being able to move. His footwork's fantastic, he can catch the ball well, he's got the height and sort of physique that you want in a wide receiver, 6'1". And I think he's, 210 pounds, 220 pounds, something like that. I think he's a fan. I think he's been really, really underrated in this draft. I know a lot of people don't like him, but his brother was drafted last year by the Falcons, and he had a fantastic season in his rookie year. So I think he has to have a bit of a look at him and say maybe he's the real deal as well, and maybe he should go. I don't see him going first round. I see him going middle second. I think
the best thing about the second round is pretty much all of the top receivers in this draft are all just pretty good. They're not great. They're not very good. They're all kind of in that second round range. And you see from our mock draft, so many receivers go in the second round.
Yeah.
And all of them do have a lot of potential to be very good receivers, but they're not quite that sure.
I think
that's why the Jets really want to move in.
Personally, I wouldn't be taking a wide receiver in the second, even if I get one, because I think there's going to be some drop to the third that there's not that big a difference between, just because there's so many that are all kind of, there's like a group of 10 that I see very, very little difference between.
Yeah.
So that's why I'd maybe stay away, but no, my luck, I'd stay away and all 10 would go back to back and you'd be like, none of them. But for value, I think I'd be staying away. But that point's kind of made here when we've got another two go. You've got Paris Campbell from Ohio State go to Arizona. You've got Hakeem Butler from Iowa State go to Seattle. Someone, luckily, their GM just kept it really simple. Big receiver, another weapon for Wilson. Nice piece at good value. Then you had Mike Weber, Ohio State running back. You had Tampa Bay take Mac Wilson, linebacker from Alabama. And Carolina take safety from Alabama, Deontay Thompson. Reasoning they gave, safeties were dropping in the draft, so there's a lot of value to be had. Got my man D. Thompson in, pure value, and will help in a pass-happy division, which makes sense. Anything stand out there?
I think just the receivers again. I think that's the main thing that I took out of the second round as a whole, and it kind of proven again in this group of five.
Mm-hmm. Any one player stand out?
The only one I'd say is I was surprised that Deebo Samuel wasn't off the board at this point. I think I'd have had him ranked higher than perhaps Paris Campbell. I don't think Paris Campbell was as good as him. But, I mean, as you said, all of the receivers are kind of, they're all in that, there's very little split in between.
Pick the hairs on top.
Yeah.
Okay. Personally, I really like Deontay Thompson. I'm a safety guy, I must admit. I like the way they just hit. So, but I hate Alabama players, so I never pick them. But I like him. Don't like Mac Wilson personally, the linebacker. But it's interesting. The next group of five is going to start off with a guy I have no idea how to say his name. Old Dominion defensive end Oshane Eximinis.
That's pretty good.
Whatever his name is. So he went to Buffalo. Then the funniest pick in the draft, Daniel Jones, going to the Giants. Minnesota took Jerry Tillery, defensive line from Notre Dame. Tennessee took Draymond Jones, defensive line, Ohio State. And Pittsburgh took Mr. Revenge Tour himself, Chase Winovich, defensive end from Michigan. And anyone who doesn't really watch college football will have no idea what that reference was in reference to. Personally, I think I don't get the Daniel Jones love. I love Goody Williams and Devin White. I think the Giants would do well to come out with those two. But if they don't have a quarterback on Thursday night, this time next week, there is serious issues going on there.
Yeah.
I think they need to take a quarterback in the first round.
I don't think they're going to.
No?
Yeah. I think they should. But I think that they're wedded to Eli for another year. I just don't see it happening.
His contract runs out at the end of this year, right? So they've got, even if they go all in, the concept of going all in this year means you're expecting to have a good year. There is no way they're expecting to win the Super Bowl. No way. They're expecting a good year. But that just means you won't get a quarterback next year. I just don't.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, though. I think Daniel Jones being picked by the Giants for one reason alone, and it's that they've got the wrong end of the stick when it comes to tank for Zion. And they've gone, he doesn't play football. Who's the best player in Duke that plays football? It's him. Let's take him.
Just, I don't care.
That's what's happened.
I don't get the Daniel Jones love.
I don't either, because it's come out of nowhere. Like, realistically, last year, if you'd have been like, who are the quarterbacks who can potentially win the first round, you'd have been like, list off all these guys. Kyler and stuff like that. He wasn't there. So he's come out of completely nowhere to be like, he could be a first round pick, even though like last year it was like 3-4. No, I think it's just his height. His height and his arm strength and stuff like that, I think is just.
Because John Elway doesn't know what he's doing. Tall, white quarterback, I'll take him.
Yeah, but I think if the big thing with that though is that they've seemed to be in love with can't remember his name, and I drafted Drew him Locke. For the Broncos. Drew Locke. He seemed to be in love with Drew Locke. And I think if he's there, they pick him. I think if he's there and they've got better players on the defensive side of the ball, they've got better players on the offensive side of the ball, they go for him as well. Because I think, as you said, John Elway doesn't have a clue what he's doing. I don't think he has a clue what he's doing, full stop. Never mind.
Still give him credit for Peyton
in regards
Manning.
To Sorry, quarterbacks.
Sorry, didn't want Peyton Manning. Like, I mean, I know he was coming off an injury.
People are giving him credit for... Yeah, people are giving him credit for all his defensive drafts, for his defensive drafts as well. Like, well done for taking Bradley Chubb, like the best player, arguably one of the best players in the draft. Well done for that. Such a hard decision to make. It becomes laughable at some point to think he's still a general manager.
It's kind of like,
for
it's just because what he did
a football team
in the past.
Like. Yeah, I think the Bolins. I think the Bolin family is. I think they feel indebted to him. I think the stuff that he did with Pat after he retired as well, before he died, I think his wife feels
he can do it.
I kind of have to stand by him. But I think if you stand by him for too long with decisions that he's making, you're going to end up having a team that's going to never win anything again, and he's going to leave, and you're going to be have a completely destitute team with nothing.
Let him go for himself, because he could end up just ruining his own reputation in the city. I mean,
I think he won't, and I don't think he will. I think that I saw that when he did like his like one of his friends in a cab with him, and they were recording it, and he was like, "Oh yeah, love John Elway, think he's great." And they were like, "What do you think about how he's running the team?" And they were like, "Oh, I don't care about that. Like, he won us two Super Bowls." That's how Denver thinks.
I'm a Celtic fan, sort of UK football, right? And we had a guy everybody loved, Tony Mowbray. He created the huddle at Celtic Park. He came back as a manager and run the team into the ground, and now he's not allowed in the stadium. Fans go mental at him. Doesn't matter what he done as a player.
But I think Celtic's different than Denver, though. Like, have a look at Denver franchise in general. You've got the Nuggets, you've got the Colorado Avalanche, you've got the Rockies, and you've got the Broncos. They are losers. Denver is a city of losers. They don't win anything ever. So they just sit there and they're like, oh, well, we'll lose everything. Celtic are arguably the greatest team in Scottish football of all time. I mean, it is interesting though to see that Rangers win, what was it, 50 titles in like 8 years? But
jeez, let's not turn Rangers. Right, moving swiftly on. Personally, I like Chase Winovich. I don't see him as a great NFL player. I just like the personality, and I thought he was good in college. I think 52 is a reach, but that's just me. Next up is the most polarised player in the draft, so I'm going to leave 53 for a wee second and go 54 was Amani Urawari, cornerback Penn State. He went to Houston. Houston had back-to-back picks. At 55, they then take Elgton Jenkins, OL from Mississippi. New England take Andy Isabella, wide receiver UMass, and the Philadelphia Eagles take Titus Howard, tackle from Alabama State. 53, however, Jachai Polite, defensive end Florida, goes to the LA Rams. What do we think's happening with Jachai Polite?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I remember after the combine reading an article that said
Polite may have had the worst combine in history. Mm-hmm. And he was considered a very good player going into the combine.
Yep.
Now he'd be lucky if he gets picked in the top two rounds.
It's insane. I've never seen a player fall this far in for non-stuff that wasn't related to the field. And it's not as if he suddenly, something's come out like, who was the tackle that got caught smoking weed on the day of the draft?
Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil. It's nothing like that. It's just people are suddenly saying he's lazy and he came into the draft out of shape. He's claiming he was injured. If he was injured, right, and this is all because of injury, he's going to be the biggest bargain a team's had in the draft since Tom Brady.
Yeah, easily.
But I think as well, there have been some off-the-field issues with him. There have been questions about his effort. There have been questions about other things in his game. And there's a lot of questions about what his game actually is and whether it's just a pure rusher who can do nothing else. He missed a lot of tackles.
This was all
when he was playing in college.
By the end of the season, there's been nothing new.
Yeah, but I think the thing is that as has happened with Metcalf, it can do the exact opposite. You have a bad combine, it's going to destroy you. And I think the thing with his combine is that a lot of scouts have looked at it and gone, he's just not trying, he doesn't care.
I mean,
he doesn't care.
Fumbles in a single season.
Yeah, but you have to. He missed something like 15 to 20 tackles, somewhere in that range, in this last season. He missed an awful lot of tackles, if I remember correctly. And you can't have that as a guy who's on the line. Like, even if you're an outside linebacker, you're going to be playing your hand in the dirt sometimes. You're going to be going after running backs. You can't miss tackles. You can't afford to miss tackles. A guy that misses that many in a college season, you're just not going to get along well with the team.
I totally get
especially
that.
If you've not got the effort to fix
it. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And it wasn't even just the just his physical attributes, was it? Apparently he interviewed really
Yeah, apparently
poorly as
interviewed
well.
Terribly. And what the issue a lot of teams had is he broke the cardinal rule. He came out and spoke about what he was asked in the interviews. Which you're obviously not meant to do because they like to ask you whatever you want. Like they get asked if your mother's a prostitute, if you're gay. They ask really horrible questions to these people.
I think that's the only time that it should have been broken. And I was 100% with Dez Bryant when it happened, when they were like, when they asked if his mother was a prostitute. When it was the Dolphins that did that, wasn't it? I was 100% behind him coming out and being like, listen, the Dolphins are scum. Like, I can't believe their scouting department's asking that question. Like, 100%.
You also know scouts are going to go mental about it. Scouts don't. It's whether they're in the right
think,
or wrong is irrelevant.
But I think. I think a lot of scouts came out after the Dez Bryant thing and was like, right, that's too much, guys. Like, come on, you need to tone that down. Like, you're giving all of us a bad name with this. Like,
it came out. Who was it?
Yeah, I remember that too. I can't remember what it was though, but I remember not being anywhere near as bad as the Bryant one was, and I remember no one really talking about
it. There's rumours going about that he doesn't like girls because he's never been seen with girls and all that, and I'm like, what has this got to do with anything? I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's this got to do with your football career?
They make the statement that, it's to see how he reacts if he's anger issues and all that, and I'm like, oh, get lost. You're asking these people to hit player for fun. Of course, most of them get anger issues. that's a different story. But we'll carry on.
Just to say from the picks that we just read out, the another one that stands out to me that really upset me was Andy Isabella of the Patriots. He's the most Patriots pick, and you just know that if that was to happen, he is going to be a star.
Drew's the most Patriots pick in the draft. Hunter Renfrew. Yeah. Hunter Renfrew is going to absolutely tear it up for the Patriots. They're going to have Andy Isabella and Hunter Renfrew, Tom Brady throwing to them, and they're going to average about 70 catches and 1,100 yards, but really 18 touchdowns.
Yeah, you just know it's going to happen.
Yep.
Can we not talk about this? It's upsetting me and it's not even real. Well, I'm going to start crying on the pod now because I hate this. I hate the idea of them winning anything else ever again.
We'll do the last seven again together. So you've got Dallas took Cahal Warren, tight end from San Diego State. Indianapolis took Justin Lane, cornerback, Michigan State. The LA Chargers took Jared Stinnem, quarterback, Auburn. Seattle took Jonathan Abram, safety, Mississippi State. Their GM said, we need to rebuild the Legion of Boom. He's a hard hitter with lots of emotion. The absolute perfect fit for Seattle, which I agree with. Especially they're going to need that Legion of Boom to get drafted now they gave Russell Wilson that contract. New Orleans took Deebo Samuel, wide receiver, South Carolina, as if Drew Brees needs even more weapons. Seattle took Terrence Prescott, guard NC State. GM says, so much potential, big guy, nasty streak will help a lot. And New England took the heir apparent to Tom Brady, Clayton Thorson, quarterback, Northwestern. To me, they're the one that stands out as someone that went a bit under the radar this year because he had a really bad season, but Jared Stidham, quarterback at Auburn. Going into the season, he was a projected first-round quarterback. He had a terrible season. But Auburn also lost five offensive linemen last year. And their new starting five had like a combined three starts or something absolutely ridiculous like that. Do you think that's to blame? Or do you think he just had one good year and everyone blew him up the year before? One good year as opposed to one bad?
One good year. I mean, I don't know. Realistically, I think it's a difficult situation to look at because obviously, what year's the true year? But I think second round is way too high for a guy who's had a horrible year. I wouldn't pick, especially a quarterback. Like, you pick a quarterback in the second round who's had a bad year. I mean, it's ringing bells in my head of decisions that the Jets have made in the past.
We were looking for a guy to start when we took freaking, Hackenberg. They're not. They've got, it's been the Chargers, so they've got Phillip Rivers, at least I'm going to imagine, for another 2 years. So, if he is the first year, he's got enough time to relax before it. I personally think he's probably somewhere in between both. I think you can't ignore the fact he led an offense
that
put up points and beat back-to-back number one teams in the country the year before. That is something not a lot of people did.
I think at the same time, though, as an LSU fan as well as you yourself, unfortunately, I'm not lucky enough to actually attend LSU, but as an LSU fan as well, you have to remember, Zach Mettenberger was a good quarterback for LSU. He was good for them. He played extremely well in his years for LSU, and he got drafted in, the fifth round?
Fifth round. People were saying he'd been in the second before the injury.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like, he was a good quarterback who got injured, and he fell to the fifth. You don't have a quarterback who has a horrible year not fall further than the second. You don't have a quarterback who's had a horrible year not fall further than the second. He's going to go. I think he's going to do a Taj Boyd situation and potentially go in the seventh round because of how bad that year's been. And Taj Boyd wasn't a bad quarterback for Auburn or Clemson, either when he played for them.
But Jared Stinnem's at least prototype, if not pro ready. Another safety taken off was quite interesting. I do find the Deebo Samuel wide receiver, South Carolina, going to New Orleans a bit strange. I mean, I guess we all know Sean Payton can never have enough weapons, but I think they've got more holes than another wide receiver, personally. Now, the New England pick, though, I'll be honest, I've not watched much of Clayton Thorson whatsoever. Yeah, does anyone...
He played for Northwestern. No, the only thing I know is that Northwestern have a good basketball program. That's about it.
I know nothing about this dude.
No, I don't know anything about him either. I'm not going to lie. I don't have a clue who he is.
Not many people knew much about Tom Brady either. So.
Oh, well, yes, he did. He played at Michigan.
Yeah, but he played for Michigan, though.
He was going to be terrible.
Like,
they were just wrong.
Yeah, that is a good point.
They knew about him. They were just wrong.
Yeah, and I don't... Like, looking back on it, looking back on it as well, like in actual looking, actually looking back on it, he's a guy who came and bailed out quarterbacks who were starting ahead of him multiple times, yeah, and came back and had comeback wins, yeah, for Michigan also, and did it in a bowl game. The fact that, that,
like, there is no, there was nothing to suggest Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady.
Yeah, but I think at the same time though, the consensus of him, of him not being that, that good of a quarterback was primarily down to the fact that,
yeah,
like the coach didn't play him, and not down to his ability, because he had ability. Like you could see, you can see it in his game tape from Michigan that he was a good quarterback. But yeah, no, I think, yeah, I think the difference with Northwestern is it's just Northwestern who wants to watch football from Northwestern. If you want to watch Northwestern play anything, you watch them play basketball. You don't watch them play anything else. No, don't know who he is. Whoever the person is who's made this pick in our mock draft has obviously made the pick. Either they watch Northwestern football, or they've gone on to like Walter Football and been like, "Who's the next best quarterback? Mm-hmm. I'll take him." Who are they saying? Because I haven't watched Northwestern play football ever. Never mind this specific quarterback. I can't even remember his name. This is when he's going to become like a fantastic quarterback. He's going to be the best quarterback in the league. He's going to destroy Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl.
They played in the Big Ten championship game, right? He clearly had a good season. I've got nothing to say about. They won the Big Ten West, I think, and then lost to Michigan and lost to Ohio State in the final. But they won like one game out of conference. They just won all the conference games. So I don't even know if they had a good season. I know nothing.
Yeah, no, I'd say exactly the same thing, to be honest. I don't know anything about Northwestern. Yeah, I think that's the analysis on him.
I'm going to check who it was, actually.
Well, I think it was Jacob. If it's not New England, Jacob, it was Jacob that picked him.
If you listen to this, I'm going to like send in the chat why you decided. Like, none of us have a clue. Let us know. And we'll retweet it on Twitter or something. Seb can do that, because I've got no clue.
Yeah, but on that note, I just want to say a massive thank you, Josh, for running this mock draft. It was great fun, and it was also a really good learning experience to how hard it is to pick in the draft. So
that's what I would say. It was also really interesting how many players got picked right before you wanted them. And
yeah,
it was interesting to see what GMs must do when they scramble thinking they're getting a player, and then boom, your whole draft board blew up. So it was really interesting. I'd just like to thank everyone for taking part, especially Robert. Anyone who's in the chat know that obviously I'm on a different time scale than everybody else. So I actually had class when a lot of this was going on. So he stepped up brilliantly, and it wouldn't have went as smoothly as it did without help from him. So I want to throw out a thanks to him and everyone who took part.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, thank you everyone for listening to our quite lengthy but very interesting podcast. Hopefully we'll speak to you soon and we'll know who these teams actually did pick.
Are we going to have a quick word on the schedule?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Oh,
so we are. Forgot I got leaked. That we're recording this before the official schedule. So in case, I think it's managed Meta released it. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it is wrong. But, yeah, what do we all think of the schedule? It's quite good, I think.
Well, we play Browns on Monday Night Football, Patriots on Monday Night Football, and the Ravens on Thursday Night Football, don't we? In that order as well. They're the ones that stood out to me more than anything, because the other ones are just standard games and not prime time. Patriots going to be horrible, because we're playing the Patriots in prime time and they always do well in prime time. The Browns, I feel like, is going to be a repeat of last year. I can't wait to see Baltimore. Can't wait to see us absolutely tear them apart, because they've decided we don't need defense anymore. We've got a running back at quarterback. He can do everything for us. And no the running back. Get Mark Ingram in.
If it is right, is the lowest key game we can possibly have is up first. A game against the Bills just gives them a chance to get up and running. And I know there's a bit of support for the Bills defense, but to get Lev Bell up and running, it's probably a nice game to have.
If we're going to win one, it should be the Bills.
Yeah.
let's face it.
Yeah, I think the first three games are quite tough, though. I mean, you've got two divisional games. You've got Baker versus Darnold. I think those first three games could be either really, really good or really, really bad.
Week 5 through 7's a tough run as well.
Who do you guys see as our easiest opponent this year that we play? I see the Dolphins. I agree. I see the Dolphins. Who's their quarterback? They've got a Belichick disciple who isn't even a coordinator on the team playing. He's their new head coach. I see that as being, if he's horrible as a head coach, as history has shown itself for Belichick disciples, that'll be a cakewalk. The both games, both in Miami and at home.
Week 3 to week 7. We've got the bye there. We've also got, so the four games we've got are two Patriots, the Eagles, and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
That's not going to be an easy run. The Patriots at home is the night game. So, like you said, they're always good on night games. And then the road game is a normal time, but I can't see the one in the Foxborough. So it's
in Foxborough.
Most likely two losses. I'd like to think they beat them at home, but they also start slow, though. So getting them week 3 at home on the road, though, means that I still think they beat us on the road. And then by week seven, they're usually up and running.
Mm.
It's not going to be easy.
No. I think if anyone who's listening to this podcast thinks for a second that we're going to be making the playoffs this year, I'm sorry to burst anyone's bubble, but I think it's very unlikely that
we make
the playoffs this year. Just the schedule we've been handed is horrible. I think we scrape dragging our lifeless, like, bottom half straight into those playoff doors with everyone looking on in disgust die in the first round.
Do we beat the Browns at home?
Yeah.
Do we beat the Browns at home week 2?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
That's a tough one.
No.
Week 3 at New England?
I don't think so.
Week 4 to bye. Week 5 at Philly?
Probably not.
Depends on whether if Wentz
is injured. Wentz is probably going to be injured by week 5.
At this point, we're 1-4. We've then got the Cowboys at home. I'd like to think we could beat the Cowboys at home.
I think we could get that one, to be honest.
No. At Jags?
No.
God knows what they're going to be like. I think we could win that. Yeah.
Depends on what Nick Foles is like.
At Miami, I'd like to think we could. At Giants, I'd like to think we could.
Yeah, I think both Miami games are a lot.
New York at home versus the Giants. At Washington.
Yeah.
It comes down to what QB they end up pulling out, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it matters, to be honest. I think they're tanking the season for a quarterback.
At the Bengals is going to be a loss because how many wins we put together. We're not winning. We're not good enough to win 6 straight. We're not. Like, eventually, we're going to lose one.
No.
We've got the Dolphins at home. We should be winning that. Ravens at...
Yeah, it's a win.
Oh, Thursday night. Road teams always lose Thursday night games. We're playing a divisional game.
Yeah, and we also struggle more than anything on Thursday night football.
On the Sunday, then on the road at the Ravens, and that's a loss to me. We've got the Steelers at home. I think we should be winning that. And then Bills on the road.
Yeah.
Which would be a play at
it's 2016 all over again.
So, assuming we lose to the Bills, that's us at 9-7. And that's assuming everything goes as we expect.
I think it majorly comes down to whether Bell turns up to his previous form and whether Darnold continues to progress. I think they're the major factors in whether we end up 7-9 or we end up 9-7. I think they're the kind of main things.
But confidence is a big thing as well, right? If they can get a result against the Browns on Monday Night Football, second game in,
it sets the whole season
rolling. That's the game that matters. If they can beat them.
Let's just make sure we beat Buffalo first.
Yeah, that's done. We'll beat Buffalo. No problem whatsoever.
Let's
I'm going to hold you to this, Ian, by the way. See when we get hammered. See when we get hammered 40 to nothing by Buffalo week one.
Do you remember how
I'm going to remind you you said this.
What's that, sorry?
Do you remember the Buffalo game last year?
Which one?
The one Josh Allen put up like 50 on us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the one thing you will know with the Jets is I can guarantee every single prediction we make will be wrong.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. The one thing...
Oh, yeah. We'll finish 7-9. We'll finish 7-9 and we'll beat the Patriots twice. That's how it'll work.
Yeah. Right. But again.
Yeah, me and Josh.
Again, thanks everyone for listening, and hopefully this hasn't been too much of a bore listening to us all talk for quite a while. But I think there's a lot of excitement going forward, and as I said, schedule's released now. Draft is next week on Thursday, so we'll have a very new load of opinions for you next time. So thanks again, guys, and thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.